What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, October 25th. That means we are 6 days away from Halloween, and I love seeing all those candy corn posts. I'm a fan of candy corn. I know a lot of people aren't, but doesn't matter to me. I love me some candy corn. Some of you are getting some costumes purchased, maybe on Amazon. You're going out and buying them. I haven't worn a costume in quite some time, and I don't think anything is ever going to beat my Ted costume. That was by far the best Halloween ever. Whenever Ted came out, not Ted 2, but the first Ted, I said, this is going to be a genius idea. And Ted, if you saw the movie, all of the girls were into Ted. And they really, really liked Ted. They would be all over him. And I said, you know what? I got to go out. I think I ordered it, actually. I ordered it from I don't know where. And I said, I've got to be Ted for Halloween. And then I hit up my buddy Dave Grutman, who runs Liv and all these restaurants now. And I said, Dave, I'm coming into Club Liv on Halloween, whenever your Halloween party is, and I'm coming dressed as Ted. And he goes, Andy, I got you. I'm not letting any other Teds in. When you come there, you say a secret word and you are the real Ted, and you will be the only Ted in Club Liv. So I walked all over the beach, Lincoln Road. I went to Liv. The pictures and stories I have from that night, unbelievable. I don't think I can ever top that Halloween. Oh my gosh, that was the best ever. And my friend went with me and wore the shirt, I am Ted's Thunder Buddy. It seriously was the best Halloween ever. So I figured I already got the best of the best. Why even try anymore? Just let me go to the store, buy some candy corn, and I'll eat it at home. But I'm not here to talk about Halloween, and it's still 6 days away. I want to get into what's going on South Florida sports-wise, because there's a lot happening. We know the Dolphins won on Sunday night, so people are still feeling good about that. Not so much about the University of Miami football team, though. The Canes are an absolute disaster, and I'll continue to skewer them, so will Uncle Luke, because they deserve it. The Miami Heat, they lost last night, so the Heat are 1-3. The Florida Panthers, they're good again, and they're on the road tonight in Chicago.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
I like Chicago. I've always been a fan of Chicago. I look at Chicago as a much cleaner version of New York, because I'm not a fan of New York City. It's so dirty. I can go off on New York City for like 3 minutes, so I just won't even start. But I do like Chicago, and the Panthers are there tonight. I have never been to a game, at least a hockey game. I've been to a baseball game. I've been to a football game there, but no hockey game and no basketball game, at least not yet in Chicago. NBA-wise, I did go to the Canes Elite Eight game in Chicago against Kansas. So we got hockey tonight in Chicago. Hockey night, not in South Florida, but in Chicago. And I love watching the Florida Panthers. And I'm glad they're doing well with brand new head coach Paul Maurice for them. With the Panthers, we know it's all about the playoffs and not about the regular season. And of course, it's about the goal song, not individual goal songs. I sent out a tweet while I was at the game Friday night. It was Friday night? Yeah, it was Friday night. Can't keep track of my days. And I said the individual goal song idea is just horrendous. Nobody even knows what song is being played. It's so quick, and it just really makes no sense whatsoever. And then TSN, which is the big network for hockey in Canada, they picked up on my tweet, and they were asking if people agree with me or not, saying that there should just be one song that's played, and it should become a tradition for the Florida Panthers. And a lot of people did agree with me. And I know that tweet made it to the Florida Panthers front office. And I hope they do something about it. Because when you celebrate a goal in hockey in the crowd, when you have your fan base celebrating it, everybody should be chanting a song. Everybody should know the words. Everybody should know what's going on. Not trying to figure out, hey, Jimmy, who scored there real quickly? What song is this? I mean, come on. We go to a hockey game to enjoy ourselves and participate and not try to figure things out. It just makes no sense at all. And that's really not the big topic that I want to get to today. But I'm bringing up so many things because, like I said, there's so much going on that I just got to cover it all. And if you know me, and I'm going to assume you do, not only do I like covering everything South Florida sports related, but I cannot stay in one place, not for very long. So I did spend the weekend in South Florida. I played in a poker tournament at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. 99 entries. I finished in seventh, so I kicked butt in that tournament. And then last night, just like I told you guys, I hopped on a flight because I always hop on a flight, went to Miami International Airport, got on the plane, and now I am doing the show this afternoon yet again from beautiful Medellin,
Colombia!
Fantastic here, really is. That's why I am always posting pictures and videos on my Instagram feed from here in Medellin and also from everywhere else I frequent. So I'm posting pictures when I'm home in Miami, when I'm at the Hard Rock, when I'm at NYY Steak, when I'm in Costa Rica, when I'm in New York, Chicago, Vegas, LA, here in Medellin. I just like posting pictures. And apparently you guys like my pictures and videos and my travels more than my sports takes. And I really can't blame you, although I think my sports takes are pretty good. I want to get to some of those sports takes, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I would say ugly wins beat pretty losses. Because I bring that up because I've heard a lot of talk about how the Miami Dolphins win Sunday night over the Steelers, how it was ugly.
Ugly, U-G-L-Y, she ain't got no alibi, she ugly.
People saying the Dolphins offense didn't do anything right after the first drive. It was just a bad performance. But you look at the standings, you look at the result, the Miami Dolphins won the football game. Does it matter how ugly it was? They got the W. Does it matter if there were bad decisions? They got the W. Now, some of the criticism is definitely fair. It was a big spotlight game. You had lots of eyes around the country on the Miami Dolphins. You had a lot of storylines. There was a lot of pressure. So if you want to discuss Sunday night's game, you could definitely pick it apart. But I would think after all of the bad football that people in South Florida have seen over the last few decades, I would figure that we would all learn wins are wins. Whether you agree with how the game played out, they got the W, and wins are all that matter. I'm not saying that some parts of the Dolphins game do not need to be improved, because they do. And by parts, I mean aspects of the game. They clearly need improvement. But it's so important just to get the victory. Yes, you can make improvements, but the Dolphins won that football game. And you take a look at the way the NFL is right now. How many good teams are there? I really think there's only a few. Now, there are teams with good records, but just because they have a good record doesn't mean that they're a good team. Some of you might blast me for this. I'm going to get ready to get the tweets and emails and DMs on IG. But here's my example. Oh, boy, I'm ready for this. The New York Giants. Yes, I'm going there. The New York Giants are 6-1. And yet, every single week, they are practically an underdog. Because they are not a good team. Here we go. Andy, how could you say that? My friend Ed Canatelli and Broward probably screaming at me right now. Robert, the GM at NYY Steak. Andy, come on. They're 6-1. What are you talking about? They're not a good team. The Giants went into their last game 5-1, right? Against the Jaguars. Not the Jaguars. The Jaguars. And they were an underdog, the Giants were. So the Giants are a perfect example. And I'm not trying to turn this into a bash the Giants show. All I'm saying is there are just a few really good teams in the NFL. And then you have teams that have a good record, but overall they're not that good. The Giants have holes in their D. They're missing a ton of talent at wide receiver, but they're well coached. And not only are they well coached by Brian Daboll, they have a knack for winning. That's all that matters. I could say for weeks and months, the Giants are not a good football team. But it doesn't matter what I say. If they pick up W's, that W's are all that matter. Right now, the way the NFL is constituted, the way the balance of power is, teams that can win ugly, they're going to thrive. Because most of those teams, most are so close to each other. So the teams that eke out the win when they're not at the top of their game, those are the teams that are going to secure the playoff spots. Just like the New York Football Giants. It's that simple. They just have a knack for winning. They know how to win games. And that's because they are well coached. Now you take a look at the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, they got a win. It was, you could say an ugly win, but that's fine. Again, they found a way to win. You could say they're well coached. And then there's things you could point to where you could say they're not well coached. But in the end, they picked up the W. And the reason they picked up the W, there were a lot of contributions on Sunday night that I think we really didn't talk about yesterday. The Dolphins posted on social media the game balls that were given out. They posted Mike McDaniel giving out game balls. The first two game balls that he handed out, Andrew Van Ginkle got one and Jalen Phillips got the other. So AVG and JP. Did any of your friends talk about Van Ginkle or Jalen Phillips? Probably not. Look, Van Ginkle was all over the field. He was in on a ton of plays. Emmanuel Ogbah did not play on Sunday night, so he filled in some of that slack. He was getting after the quarterback. And then as for Jalen Phillips, he hasn't been great this year. The expectation was he's going to take a huge step forward. I mean, we're not talking about just some random dude. This is a former first-round pick. But on Sunday night, we started to see some of the ability that Jalen Phillips has. He's, as people say, a high-motor guy. And he can be super disruptive to the QB. And the secondary is banged up for the Miami Dolphins. Nick Needham's gone for the year. Byron Jones hasn't played yet this year. And who knows if he even will. Then Brandon Jones, a safety who is great on the pass rush, he was just placed on the IR yesterday with a knee injury. So he's out at least the next four games, probably even more than that. Xavien Howard was much better Sunday, but he's been playing hurt. So when all of this happens, how does a team compensate when you have such a banged-up secondary? Well, one way is to have a pass rush, and that's why Van Ginkle and Jalen were so important, getting that pressure. helping to mask the deficiencies that the Dolphins have in the back end. And then the other is to win the turnover battle. Teams that can get to the other team to turn the ball over, they take tremendous pressure off of their defense. And that's what the Miami Dolphins did. Three picks, two in the fourth quarter to maintain that lead. And I know those aren't the sexiest of plays in the highlight shows, but they win ball games. And that's all the Miami Dolphins had to do on Sunday. There were points in the game where they were not well coached, but they got the W. Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins got a W. You look at the other sideline with Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach. He's a coach who I respect a lot. He said something very wise in relation to Sunday's game. He said the difference in the game, the Dolphins caught their interceptions and the Steelers dropped theirs. And it's absolutely true. Tua threw three or four passes that absolutely could have been turned over. That's one of the reasons I think the Steelers were so conservative on offense until late in the game. They were just waiting for Tua to beat himself. And he did several times. It's just that the Steelers' D, they couldn't hold on to the football. Those picks were in their hands. Any of them would have turned the game, but they couldn't make the play. And the reason I say that some parts of the Dolphins' game plan and what they did was not well coached, it just goes back to that fourth and three call. Here I am 2 days after that call was made, and it still doesn't make any sense to me. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning while I was having my third cup of coffee and eating some eggs and bacon with sourdough toast. Love sourdough toast. And we're on the phone, and we're talking about the fourth and three. Here it is on a Tuesday. It made zero sense. That's a rookie mistake by Mike McDaniel. Up six, second half, the other team can't move the ball well. Easy field goal would give you a 9-point lead. And instead of taking the points, the Dolphins not only go for it, but they hand the ball to a running back who's having a bad night, Chase Edmonds. That was horrendous. I am all for being aggressive. There's situations where you should go for two, go for it on fourth down. I am not completely against analytics. I am not against thinking unconventionally, but this was a simple math problem. If they take the field goal, the Steelers have to drive down and score twice on Miami. How do you forego those points? The entire stress of the fourth quarter would have been eliminated if Miami just takes the points there. I think Mike McDaniel is going to be a great head coach, but that was definitely one of those welcome to the NFL moments where he's a rookie, and no matter how funny he is or how occasionally charming he is, sometimes he just does things that don't make sense, overthinking things. And when you overthink something, things like what we saw Sunday night on fourth and three are bound to happen. No coach pitches a perfect game, let alone a rookie coach. My thing is, it's one thing to make a questionable decision. I mean, sometimes coaches make moves that we could debate. Was this good? Was this bad? Why or why not? This wasn't questionable. This was just wrong. There's no way to justify not extending a lead to beyond one score in the second half. When the game is there to be had against a rookie quarterback who is not particularly playing well, you go up two scores. And let's suppose the Steelers did hang on to one of those errant Tua passes. Even if they were to house it, it wouldn't have cost the Dolphins the game. That was just bad football management by Mike McDaniel. That was a bad decision. I bring this up and the Dolphins won the game. I'm not going to just forget about it. The hope is he goes back and evaluates it and realizes the error of his ways and doesn't do it ever again. Just like you should never again think about getting dental work and paying so much money for it. That's why I always tell you about the Costa Rica dental team, where they will save you a fortune when compared to U.S. dental prices. The Costa Rica dental team will save you 50 to 70% compared to U.S. dental prices. Maybe you need crowns, veneers, implants, whatever dental work you need done. The Costa Rica dental team, they're going to take great care of you. And I know that for myself because I have been to the Costa Rica dental team many times. So I could tell you firsthand, the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top notch. Check it out. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. Congrats to GT Max for going 12-2 against the spread in my 13th annual football pick'em challenge and winning that $100 gift card to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. We give that away every single week. If you have the most winners against the spread, you could sign up for my pick'em challenge on my site, SlaterScoops.com. And if you also have the most winners at the end of the football season, you and a guest will fly away to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. It is never too late to play. Make sure your picks are in. We go against the spread, and every single game counts. So head on over to SlaterScoops.com and make sure you're playing in my absolutely free 13th annual Football Pick'em Challenge. I sometimes hear murmurs of a backlash against the 1972 Dolphins. People who are like, get over yourselves. We get it. You were perfect. The toasts are too much. I couldn't disagree more. I was delighted Sunday night to see the 72 team celebrated. I also saw them celebrated at the Hard Rock on Saturday. This is the greatest achievement in NFL history. All right? History. It will never be matched. Most likely it won't. Certainly not with a 17-game season to where a team would probably have to go 20-0 to run the table. Why would that group of individuals not use every single chance they get to throw a party, get together, see each other, reflect? Lots of older people like to look back on their lives, look back on their youth. Not every person could look back at an accomplishment that great. I also don't think honoring the perfect team, having that moment, commemorating 50 years, has any impact on winning or losing today. The Dolphins haven't been bad for the past 20 years because they had a great past. They've been bad because they've just been bad. They've been poorly run. Coaches haven't worked out. Players haven't worked out. So celebrating the greatest team in NFL history is certainly not the reason the Dolphins have struggled. And while Sunday night was fun, that night in 1985 at the Orange Bowl, from what I'm told, when Marino was QB and the Bears came in undefeated, I was alive, but I really didn't know a whole lot. But the 72 guys, they were on the sidelines, and the Dolphins smoked one of the greatest teams of all time, the 85 Bears. Yes, they were better than the Bears team we saw smoke the Patriots last night. That's for sure. And that night apparently was very special. Again, I'm told. The Orange Bowl literally was rocking that night, people tell me. As much fun as this celebration was Sunday, I don't know if that night at the Orange Bowl, from what I understand, will ever be topped. Now, do I get into the Canes football team, or should I just go straight to the Miami Heat? I'll make that decision in just a few moments. The decision you should make is heading on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you could be surrounded by gorgeous. Girls. The reason Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club is because they have beautiful ladies who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You will have a fantastic night or even early morning. Dean's Gold is open every single day from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 a.m. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Go have yourself a great Tuesday night or even early Wednesday morning. The place to do it, surrounding yourself with beautiful women, it is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. Uncle Luke is going to join me in just a minute, and we're going to go over the University of Miami a lot. I quickly want to say the Heat, they're now 1-3 after losing to the Raptors last night, and I think Eric Spoelstra messed up. He let Jimmy Butler sit way too long in that fourth quarter. The Miami Heat had a lead, and Spo didn't bring Jimmy back out in the fourth until There were 4 minutes to go. And then Jimmy didn't take his first shot in the fourth until there was less than a minute left. That cannot happen. This team is just not talented enough to survive a coaching mistake like that, especially against a quality opponent in the Raptors. All right, it's time to go off on the Canes. Uncle Luke joins me next. It's Tuesday, but I feel like this is a very important Tuesday. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell joins us here on the Andy Slater Show. Luke, you saw the University of Miami on Saturday. I don't even want to get into the Dolphins with you, at least not yet, not to begin with. Who's getting fired, Luke? Who are you firing?
I'm not firing anybody, Andy. See, here you go. Here you go. You want me to do all the firing. You want me to do the dirty work.
Yes.
That's what you do.
I do.
You call me on Tuesday, and you want anytime you want me to do dirty work, that's when you call me. Don't call me on no positive Luke Tuesday. You call me on a negative Luke Tuesday. Well, who you want to get fired?
When is there ever a positive Luke Tuesday? I mean, look at the University of Miami. They're the ones that are making this happen, not me.
Who? What are they making happen? I mean, they're rebuilding a program that has been devastated by years and years, 17 years of bad recruiting, 17 years of kids coming there just using the university for its notoriety and its publicity, 17 years of a board of trustees and a booster and an administration that got away from what we were and let the conglomerates and the suites, the people in the suites and the higher upper echelons control the program. This is what you got. You got Duke and Miami. And so now we bring in Mario Cristobal, give him a boatload of money, $8 million for his salary, $8 million for a salary of his staff, and everybody thinks he's supposed to turn this thing overnight. University of Miami football is a very difficult job, and people don't realize that.
What makes it so difficult?
Well, because we're trying to live up to the U tradition, which you can't, because the U tradition was down and dirty, smash mouth, hit you in the mouth, recruit the toughest kids from the toughest areas, whether it was New Jersey, whether it was Dallas, whether it was the hood in Miami. They don't allow you to do that anymore over there. They don't even allow me to make decisions over there or even consider any of my decisions because they want to be the you that they wanted to get away from. All this tough guy, hardcore, you know, smash mouth football. So this is what you got. So we living in the 30 for 30. We live in trying to act like we want to be that, but we're not that. The administration is not going to let that happen again.
Luke, you're a high school coach at Miami Edison, and high school players get recruited. Mario Cristobal is supposed to be a great recruiter. When potential players at the University of Miami, when they're getting recruited and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go there, and then they see UM continue to lose and they're getting blown out at home by Duke and Middle Tennessee State, what does that do to a recruit?
Andy, what you got to understand is this. Everybody says recruit the best talent from South Florida, which is what Howard Stellenberger said was the state of the U. But what I just explained to you, they're not recruiting those type of kids. They're not recruiting those smash mouth hardcore kids. They're being careful as to what type of kid that they bring in that program. And they're not recruiting those type of kids from coaches like myself that are tough, hard-nosed, smash mouth football coaches. But our kids are disciplined and our kids excel in the classroom. They wasn't recruiting my kid, Nathaniel Joseph, at the University of Miami because he played for me before Mario Cristobal got there. Even though the kid is a 4.2 GPA and has a 25 on the test, they wasn't recruiting him just because of who he played for, where he played for, until Alabama and Clemson offered him. He was committed to Clemson, where his dream school was the University of Miami. So the kids that you see excelling at other programs around the country, like 7 at Alabama, University of Miami wasn't recruiting those type of kids. They don't recruit those type of kids.
Luke, if one of your
That's why we got a bunch of quitters. If everybody like, why are they quitting? That's why you got a bunch of quitters. Because you don't have those type of kids. You got choir boy kids out there.
Luke, if a kid comes up to you, it says, Coach, I'm getting recruited here. I got offers from Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas A&M, and the University of Miami. What should I do? What do you tell the kid?
I tell the kid first, you need to – I thought you was getting ready to ask me the question, hey, Luke, do you have kids that are being recruited by all of these other top universities? And what kids that are not being recruited by University of Miami? I got three kids in my program right now that are being recruited by all these other top universities that are not being recruited by the University of Miami right now. Right now. And so what do I tell a kid based on the question that you just posed to me? I always tell kids, look at this. Look at the coach who's coaching you. Don't look at the logo on the helmet. That coach in that room, has he coached kids up to go to the next level if that is what you dream of doing? If that coach has no experience, and if he don't have a resume of getting kids to the next level, coaching them up, then you might need to go somewhere else. Don't get caught up with the logo on the helmet. But unfortunately, University of Miami has a whole bunch of those coaches on the staff that has coached guys up to go to the next level. You know, they got tough times. They don't have the type of players. Look at Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz look like a genius right now.
He does?
Because he's at Penn State. Yeah, I mean, defense playing lights out. But Penn State recruited, those are not Manny Diaz kids. Those are kids that he inherited as a defensive coordinator at Penn State. That's why I told the Penn State coach, whatever you do, don't let Manny recruit. Because if he recruits, he recruits horrible. Absolutely. He don't know talent, whether it slaps him right in the face. But he can't coach. X's and O's, like Jim, the old coach told me years ago. I said, what makes you so great, Bobby Bowden? He said, it ain't about X's and O's, it's about Jimmys and Joes. You got to have some Jimmys and Joes, and you got to have a few knuckleheads, what they call headaches. And if you don't have no headaches, they ain't going to get your practice going, they ain't going to get the game going, they ain't going to get in nobody's face when somebody is underachieving. And that's what you got at the University of Miami.
Uncle Luke Luther Campbell with us here on the Andy Slater Show. I want to go back to what you said just a few minutes ago, Luke. You tell a kid, don't fall in love with the logo. It's more about the coach. Does that tie into a winning program? I mean, can you tell a kid, forget about Bama competing for national titles. It's really about the coach. Does it go hand in hand? I mean, does record not come into play?
Oh, record definitely comes into play. I mean, I give a kid a roadmap as to how to deal with his recruiting and how to help him make a better decision based on the roadmap that I give him. I never would tell a kid, you need to go to University of Miami because I love University of Miami. I want to see them win. I never would tell a kid that. I would say, this is your homework. What do you want to do academically? What is the school tradition of helping the kid after you're done with college? Like, I mean, you got some universities that really look out for their kids, like University of Florida, school I hate, but they look out for their kids when they're done playing. Alabama looks out for the kid. LSU looks out for the kids when they're done playing. And so I tell them to look at all those different things to then make the decision as to what school you want to go to. You know, yes, I love University of Miami. I want them to win. I want them to do good. I want them to do more community outreach and make it more of a community-involved university, which is another problem that they have. They're not like the University of Tennessee or Alabama, which they're entrenched within the community. University of Miami is just going to take your money at the hospital, and they don't have no outreach. They have absolutely no outreach within the community to make this a town where this new generation of mothers and daddies and kids feel obligated to support the university. That is a whole nother issue that they have that they need to address.
Again, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Luke, is there anything that you can take right now that UM is doing on the football field and say in 2 or 3 years from now, this is going to affect them? Like, is there any, when you look at the future of the program, can you take anything from what's happening now and say, this is not going to be good in a few years. It's not going to work.
Let me say this, Andy, you got to be able to, you got to be, the University of Miami has to, Mario has to create a whole nother culture. I mean, you can't live in the past. What happened is we got a bunch of delusional fans. We got a bunch of delusional people in the media. They want to fire. You know, you got, they have to, people have to be patient and let this man build.
You sound
program.
Like Jeter now. I mean, you sound like Jeter when he came to the Marlins. You got to be patient.
Jeter was delusional too.
I mean, how much patience?
Jeter, hold on. Don't get me started on the Marlins. That was a money grab for Jeter. Jeter know what he was coming into. Jeter know. We all thought Jeter was bringing the Yankee winning attitude and the George Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner, whatever his name is, attitude toward here in Miami. Jeter know that he had no bag to work with. And if you ain't got no bag to work with, you can't build the Yankees here. You're dealing with a farm system. So don't give me no Jeter. What I'm saying is this, what Miami has to do, Miami has, people got to people got to be paid. You can't just, Andy, you just can't go overnight and get players off the trade market or get everybody from the portal. This man got to recruit well. He has to recruit the type of players that's going to get this program going in the right direction. Then you got to give him at least two or three years for his players that he recruit become juniors and seniors, and that is when you judge a college football coach. You don't judge a college football coach after his second year like Florida State, them idiots in Tallahassee did when they fired Willie Taggart, which in my opinion, he still is horrible. But again, you don't do that to the coaches. And they're going to fire him at FAU.
So Luke, you're saying whatever is going on at UM right now, which is horrendous football, it will have no effect on the future.
Yes, it would. I'm not going to sit up here and, yes, most kids want to go to winning programs. Unfortunately, we live in a world that kids want to go to a winning program. What University of Miami is struggling with is one thing. We got to be ESPN top 10. We need these kids that meet the measurables. University of Miami football, Mario Cristobal need to just say, the hell with all that. I'm going to build this program like Butch Davis, Jimmy Johnson, and how Snellenberger built it, and not care about stars. Back then, it was blue chip, and go get football players. Whether they're a two-star, three-star, go look for them diamonds in the rough and bring them in there. Don't bring the guy. Rohan Mollie didn't meet the measurables. Warren Sapp was a tight end that converted into a defensive end. Those guys didn't meet the measurables. I mean, no. At one, UM had no three stars. You talking about we lost a football game where we have 45, Andy. We have 45 4- and 5-star kids on that roster, and Duke only has 2. You got to go back to just getting football players and stop trying to win the popularity contest and say forget about that. But at the same time, you got to trust in the people who know football players right now. If I'm Mario Cristobal, the only guy in that building that knows anything about football players that I'm trusting is Alonzo Highsmith. Me and Alonzo Highsmith damn near sleeping in the same house, maybe in the same bed. What you see, what you want, who we need to get. Nobody else in that building I would trust as far as telling me who to go out and recruit.
One last question, Luke. Who's to blame for what's happening at UM right now?
Manny Diaz.
Okay. Because a lot of people say that, and I wanted to ask you. It's still Manny's team.
Manny Diaz, let me tell you something. It's Manny Diaz and his recruiting staff, and unfortunately, a large group of guys that recruited that recruited these kids, they are still in Mario Cristobal's recruiting department. And that is unfortunate. And I when I talked to Coach, the first thing he asked me my opinion of what's the problem with the program. I said, those guys in the recruiting department have to go. I don't like getting people out of there. But if you want to fire somebody at the University of Miami, those guys should have went with the coach. You got to do a whole thing. You can't say that we have garbage players, and you keep the people who brought the garbage players in here. They got to go.
I thought your answer, Luke, would be when Mario asked you, you know, what do you think is wrong here? You would have said, well, I'm talking to you and not Lane Kiffin.
Stop it. See, well, now, you know Lane was my first choice.
Yeah.
And Mario's my second choice. And you know the people at University of Miami, they will not do one thing that I say do or hire a coach that will even listen to my suggestions. So you just wanted to bring that up.
If they don't listen to you, you should have told them to hire Mario Cristobal.
I know, right?
Come on.
I know, because you're a poker genius. You go all over the world winning money and putting it on Instagram, and all the little newscaster girls go to looking at you and saying, ooh, Andy. Oh, hold on. By the way, all the married news girls get on there. Oh, Andy. Oh, you're going to take me on a trip with you? And then I'm sitting there like, oh, God, they don't even realize that this man goes to Columbia.
That's where I am right now doing the show.
You're doing the show in Columbia? Can you do something for the community? Can you bring some of those girls from Columbia to get on the news here in Miami?
They would have to go to Telemundo or Univision, though. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell, I hope to see you soon at Joe's Stonecrop.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, I'm trying to go to Joe's. I'm trying to take my Edison Red Raiders over there, the seniors, for senior night.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I'm coming, when the season's over, I'm going to take me a long trip to Columbia with you. So just get the hot tub ready.
It's ready.
And you know, I'm single, so you can get the girls ready too.
I was in it last night, man. Oof. Yeah. We'll have a conversation.
See, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot tub, well, I guess we can't talk about the Dolphins because we don't have enough time.
No, we don't.
I was going to say something about them. After the first quarter.
After they beat the Lions, we'll chat about them next Tuesday.
Oh, God. Why?
Uncle Luke,
why?
Take care of my friend.
Okay.
And he's out just like that. All right, that's all the time I have for this Tuesday afternoon. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.